Good morning. Before we get started, if anyone has a cell phone on, if you could silence it, we would appreciate it.
And Eversource, if you can go upstairs and pay your flammable license while we call you, that would be great. Eversource?
Yeah.
Upstairs, pay your license.
She looks like she doesn't know what you're
They need to pay the license.
I'm sorry, I'm still in training and I didn't bring your textbook, so.
Okay.
Do you mind?
Is Jackie Duffy out?
Yeah, I'm filling in for her.
Okay, can you please go upstairs and talk to Dana Clark while we get to Eversource so that he can switch the records to you and give you all the information and give you the amount that's due and everything else?
Okay, I didn't mean to mislead you. I mean, Jackie will be back. I'm just filling in for her today.
Okay, well, go upstairs and talk because this has been going on for over a year, so.
All right, no problem.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what's that?
Yes, now I'm better.
Okay. Hey, this is the agenda of the Poland Conduit Commission, Thursday, April 25th. It's 10:03 a.m. We're in the Michael J. Lombardi Building, 831 Mass Ave, basement conference room. The four of you are the commissioners, Chair Nicole Moretti Guerrero, Steve Winkowskis, and T.J. Shea.
Good morning. Is there any resident here that wants to speak on any of the petitions? Do you know which one? I'll start, since you raised your hand first.
The one from Crown Castle, Alston Street, and Magazine Court.
Okay, Alston Street, that's number 12. Okay, ma'am?
I'm together.
Same one?
Same one.
Any other resident here speaking on any matter? Okay, so shall we start with number 12? So, Crown Castle, if you can please come up, and then the residents, if you want to start making your way up as well, that would be great. Thank you.
This is a new petition from Crown Castle, from Magazine Court in Alston Street, to co-locate transmission equipment at an existing base station. It's replacing the existing shroud and the existing antenna.
And there's also a chair
there
here.
Okay.
Good morning. Could you please state and spell your last names for the record? We'll start with Crown Castle.
Amanda Cornwall, C-O-R-N-W-A-L-L.
Thank you. And then I'll start this way.
Okay. G-U-Z-Z-I. Antonella, A-N-T-O-N-E-L-L-A.
A-N-T-O-N-E-L-L-A. Okay. And where do we
26 Frank Street.
Okay.
Susan D'Acuna, that's D-A-C-U-N-H-A.
And where do you reside?
269 Alston Street, Unit 1. Exactly across the street from where this thing is.
Okay, thank you.
Marshall, two L's. Psychowitz, S-I-K-O-W-I-T-Z. 26 Prince.
26?
Yes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm Joe Shannon from Crown Castle.
Thank you. Okay, so Ms. Cornwall, why don't you start with what this petition is and then we'll hear from the residents.
Sure. As the board is familiar, this is the end of our Sprint project here. We are looking to replace the existing shroud with a new shroud and change out the existing antenna for a new antenna. We feel that co-location here is the best model because it allows us to add Sprint as an additional carrier without having to go next pole over and the least amount of redundant equipment. There's no new power, no new fiber at the node here.
President, I'm not sure who wants to start.
I have a question on the necessity for the additional shroud. It seems to be twice as wide. Already, there's a fan because of the heat generated from the existing antenna. And if this is for 5G, I want to know whether the city is aware of the potential danger of 5G. Has anyone looked into that? and whether there's any other options, whether fiber optic, we were doing that in the ground. I understand it's more expensive, but if it's safer, why not spend the money?
Okay, thank you. Do you want to start responding?
Yeah, sure, no problem. So what this project does is it allows us to add Sprint as an additional carrier. This is not 5G, this is 4G for Sprint. And then this should actually help with the noise, because by us having the larger shroud, it allows for more space in between the radio equipment, which allows for more airflow. And then the upgraded technology with the shroud allows for passive cooling, and it has sound dampening.
So it's going to be quieter?
Yes.
Is it going to be hotter?
I don't think it's going to be any hotter, okay. No.
As far as the 5G, I was told by the city that it was 5G. I mean, I asked the mayor, and that's the response I got from his chief of staff. So I apologize for that assumption.
Understood.
Okay.
Any other resident?
I have a question. Being right across the street from this, I've always been concerned from what is there, about what is there. I know that there are rules in the city about certain types of cell tower equipment that need to be 1,000 feet from a residence. This is in no way 1,000 feet from where I live. Is this the type of equipment that needs to be 1,000 feet from a residence? Or is that some other type of equipment that needs to be that far away?
I'm not aware of
this. I wrote a letter to someone in the town once and never got a response.
Do you know who you wrote it to?
I wrote online, and I do not remember. I went to what I thought was the appropriate department, and I never got a response, and this was several years ago. So I don't know who I wrote it to now.
So several years ago, I'm going to blame someone else because I wasn't here.
It could be another department you can blame.
To be clear, you're talking about there's a rule?
Yes, I definitely searched, Cambridge and whatever, cell tower equipment, or I don't know exactly what I searched, but I did see a law in Cambridge that, I'm not familiar with the terminology, I really don't know what is what in cell tower equipment, in equipment for these systems, but I was concerned that what is across the street from me falls under that rule of what must be 1,000 feet away from a residence, and there is no way that it's 1,000 feet away from mine or several other residences in the
area. In terms of policies from the Pole and Conduit Commission, I know that there's none that mention anything of that nature. In terms of the city ordinance, with regard to the jurisdiction of what this board grants permissions for, there is no such language in the portion of the ordinance that I'm aware of.
Jill, you could talk about safe distances. Sure. From the FCC's, of the distance, the safe distance for workers and the safe distance for residents and people around. You could talk to that point.
Yeah,
but I'm also, there was an ordinance that said 1,000 feet for something.
I will certainly look into it.
I've been a part of small cell zoning and macro tower zoning. The reality in Cambridge, an ordinance that would restrict something 1,000 feet probably would allow for no wireless deployment anywhere in town, right? Because it's a very dense kind of urban environment where, residences and non-residences are kind of intermingled, right? So I'm not familiar with any rule like that, either for small cells or for other wireless facilities.
Yeah, these small cells have been being installed at least 10 years now throughout the city. And I'm not aware of any 1,000-foot range. Anything off the public way goes to zoning for rooftop units, which are much more powerful than these small cells. So I'm not aware of any
how,
and I've not seen it. I've been around for a little while. I haven't seen that 1,000-foot rule for that.
I've lived there for 12 years. So this antenna is going to be larger as well, right? Does that mean more powerful?
Well, what it's going to do is, what we're doing is we're making the antenna a little larger. It's going to have some more ports. It's going to allow for a third carrier. Right now, Verizon, T-Mobile, and when we upgrade at Sprint, we'll all be on this pole. As Amanda said, one of the benefits of this project, we think Crown Castle believes firmly that shared wireless infrastructure is the best way to deploy wireless infrastructure around in all the communities, because if we didn't have the ability to co-locate three carriers on this one pole, there would be one carrier on three poles in front of you, which would be more onerous and more disruptive to the community.
In the same sense, though, I mean, if you have a third carrier, each carrier is putting out, I mean, your equipment is putting out the same power for each carrier, correct?
It doesn't aggregate, right? So it,
correct. Yeah. So in other words, they're putting three vendors on one pole, so there's three sets of equipment within the same shroud or within the same antenna enclosure. So the antenna is not larger, it's just
That's right. The
enclosure is holding the same size antennas, but for one for each vendor. Is that correct?
Oh, I thought it mentioned the size of the antenna.
No, so the new antenna is larger.
Bigger.
The new antenna
the
is
diameter
larger.
Yeah.
The
height is the same, but the diameter is
But minor. Which means that diameter becomes more powerful anyway, otherwise
right. You
would not need to put a larger thing.
Well, we also need to do it larger so we can add the more ports so we can connect the equipment together.
Yeah, but which means that it will be more powerful, so otherwise...
Maybe is the concern around, I'm happy to speak a little bit to the health,
yeah.
Is that what we're
yeah.
So
yeah.
These are...
Health and possible interruption of other things. Like landline phones or something.
Well, I'll do that one first. That's the easier one. So these are obviously three major carriers, national carriers, Verizon Wireless, T-Mobile, and Sprint. They all have licensed spectrum that's auctioned off by the FCC every bunch of years. So they don't interfere with each other, and they don't interfere with anything else because they're in their own frequency. Their radio frequencies in their own the radio frequency that they own. In terms of health, the FCC also requires us and the carriers to ensure that all of these, every piece of equipment that we deploy is at a safe distance from general population. These poles have a safe distance of, I think it's 4 feet, and we can get an EME report and submit it to the commission, certainly, for general population. And we are, it's at the top of a pole, and every foot you go down a pole, it gets progressively safer. But I think that we can certainly submit an EME report to the commission for your review.
And you think it's 4 feet for the existing pole, and what about with the new?
No, that's for the new equipment. I'll submit something. We can submit something. Again, this is all something that's regulated by the FCC, and our obligation to the community and to the carriers and to the federal government is that we only deploy stuff that complies with the FCC rules.
Because we're talking, this is a three-family house, so the third floor is much closer to the top of the pole than the first floor.
Of course, right. Of course.
Uh-huh. Yes. So you think it's 4 feet?
Well, no. I'm sorry, before we deploy a network, we do it. You guys are well aware that we're in the streets of Cambridge, in the streets of all of these communities very frequently, and we monitor our equipment on an annual basis. Before we design it, we actually go out and do measurements of what's there and theoretical measurements of what will be there when we make the change. And we, you know, monitor the surrounding environment. A lot of places that we're deploying right now in South Boston, for instance, and in Cambridge, it's impacted us less in Cambridge, but as developments occur in places where there's a lot of development going on, sometimes we have to change our equipment location because where there wasn't a building before, there is a building now. It's, again, the obligation is on us to ensure that we're following the FCC rules, and it's something that we take very, very seriously as a company.
Another concern about that pole, it's at an angle like this. So
yeah,
it's going to be a lot more
weight.
Yeah. It's
well,
I mean,
you
it's
can see
quite
the
incredible,
picture.
Really.
There is a picture here that shows how it's reclining. This is the picture of the pole I like.
Yeah, when I spoke to the guy whose house is opposite your house, he was more concerned with the pole falling than any other health issues.
Because he probably parks right there.
We actually had Eversource go out and look at these poles, and they said that the poles are not leaning to the point where correction or replacement is needed at this time.
That's part of our routine as well, and I think that we're in the process of replacing a few others that are in a more difficult situation.
So is this going to be considerable more weight on the pole?
It it won't impact the leaning, and if it does in the future, then we'll be, you know, we'll work with this, with Eversource and with the city to make it better.
I have a question. I don't know if this is the proper moment to say that. So whenever there is a decision to put this antenna on, who decides where to put antenna? Your company, in this case, or the state has a zoning that says this we can put an antenna or can be put here? Because I just went around the our quarter, and I saw three antennas very close to us, and then zero. So I was wondering if there is a preset place where these are supposed to be put, or it doesn't exist and we just follow what the company decides according to the necessity of covering an area.
That's a very complicated question, but there's multiple layers to it. In Cambridge, currently, these installations are only on wooden pole, aka utility poles. And then there's the FCC regulations that allows attachment of these types of installations on utility poles. Then there is the grant of location, which is provided by this board, but then there is also the analysis that these companies do in terms of what they need to put out there to provide service to their carriers or their clients or the residents or 911 or whatever it is that they're servicing. So it's a multi-layer situation.
So, yeah, but there is not a plan done by Cambridge to say we can put this in this area, not in another area.
Not at this time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's mostly driven by demand of the residents, or not so much the residents, but demand of the area. So they wouldn't put the antenna there if it wasn't needed for their coverage of their customer. The customer.
Is in their.
Well, and you know, and I think that it's been over. I'm not sure when this particular one was installed. Maybe
10 years.
10 years or so, yeah. Right? And what would have happened at the time is the carrier would have come to us, and we would have gone out and looked at all the poles. Which pole is best? We try to put them places where they're not terribly close to homes, right? That's not always an option. But then we would, after we talk to the utility company and the carrier about what pole might work, then we come here, and I think we've had a number of robust conversations about whether we've made the right decision, and sometimes we have to go and look at it again. But when this one was deployed, we followed that same process. We got the grant allocation at the time, and what we're doing today, I think, is an upgrade that makes a lot of good sense for the community.
So when most of these were put up about 10 years ago, was there a lot of resistance from certain areas of Cambridge to not have them in their area?
I never heard.
We never got a letter.
I never got a letter.
I've been there 20 years. Yeah. This is the first certified letter I ever got about the pole.
Definitely. And I actually bought the unit in 2005, and I had no letter at the end of 2005 and never received a letter about that.
And I'm sorry, I have another question to you. So I remember reading that the reason to put this smaller antenna instead of this huge one is a safety, because when you put up a huge one, more people are affected, and because there is so much more power coming from that, it's more dangerous, okay? But by putting small one, there is less danger because they're smaller, so. But now it seems to me that you're putting more power in it. Can you confirm to me again that it doesn't mean that this antenna, just because it gets physically bigger, it doesn't get more powerful?
Well, and I think that it's important to think about maybe when you might have read that article, if it was recently or if it was a long time ago. As technology is getting better, there, you know, the changes between what was being deployed 15, 20 years ago, the late 90s, and today is dramatic, right?
Yeah.
So everything is everything's that much safer, everything is that much more efficient, and that's what we're deploying today. On the health issues, again, I don't want to overspeak because it's not something that, you know, it's something that we're obligated to recognize with the FCC, but it's not really something that is, as long as we're being compliant with what the rules are, it's not something that any of us
you
are.
Can
yeah, change. So that, the rule is that, you know, the FCC forces us
you
to create.
You comply with FCC, but you can't say.
Well, and I can certainly submit the information.
So a similar question, as opposed to power, is there more radiation from that? From the new antenna than the old?
how are you distinguishing power and radiation? I think that
I know it's...
Well, is it an umbrella effect of radiation or
right.
power getting from there?
I think that we might all be approaching the tips of our skis on this conversation, but, you know, this one is more powerful because it has three carriers rather than two carriers, and, you know, when we've done our design review, we confirmed that it complied with the, what we've been installing now complies with the FCC rules.
So the power have to do with the kind of radiation that is suspect as a possible health risk, but not really proven yet, right?
Yeah, so what they're saying is that they comply the rules of the department.
The federal standards.
Yes. And the city of Cambridge has nothing to do with this.
Well, the FCC trumps the city of Cambridge.
Okay.
Okay. So we have...
we'll see when it becomes 5G.
Yeah, that is another question because we don't know how it came out, this 5G thing, because it is on the table, the 5G.
Yeah, that's not what, as Amanda said, that's not what this is.
Yeah,
this is.
Yeah, we get it.
So can I have your name and email address because I'm going to find that.
Why don't you go upstairs and just ask them to give you my card. Just ask for the chairwoman's card.
Where
License commission right on the first floor. And they'll give it to you. And you can all have it.
Okay.
Nicole. Yeah, I'm the only Nicole probably in this building. So you can just say, can I have Nicole's card?
Okay.
And Nicole.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you for bumping us up.
Anytime.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye.
Anything else in terms of this one? And then just to confirm, I was looking at the changes in terms of dimensions, and they are still within what the FCC says are the permissible changes. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Do you guys have any issues? Any questions?
I do not. Nope.
Vote to grant.
Motion. Seconded.
Okay, granted. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's page one. New petition for Comcast at River Street to trench 39 feet northerly to the private property line of 25 River Street.
Good morning.
Could you please state and spell your name for the record?
Anthony Vadalaro, V as in Victor, A-T-A-L-A-R-O, Comcast.
Thank you.
A new service. New underground service for 25 River. We've actually been trying to get there for a while, but there's two units in there now. It's always been one unit. So we can actually get the funding to do the trenching.
No issues with DPW.
Yep.
So motion to approve with typical conditions.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Anthony, I'm sorry. We have an email from Angela Holm.
Yes.
About the 1780 Mass Ave stuff.
Yeah, 5A Lancaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So these... so did you guys get this email? Did Dana send this email to you? Before you go.
Okay.
Before you go, I just want us to talk about the stuff that she sent to us.
Yes, I did see.
Do we have any issues, anything to say back to Comcast or any?
Only where are we at with this? I know this is pending. We had the original submission was rejected because Mass Ave was an approved street.
Right.
And then we looked at going down Lancaster Street. And then with the moratorium, we kind of put it off.
Yep.
And then we were going to revisit it at this time.
So during the moratorium, we reached out to the condo association at 1800 Mass Ave, which is the neighboring building.
On the other side?
Yes.
Yeah.
We service that property. There's a lockbox, literally, you know, our service is literally within 20 feet from the building that's the issue in the private property side. So we're working with them to get a license or an easement. It's in front of their board right now for approval.
Okay.
So they are on board. They haven't said yes, but they are reviewing the drawings and everything we sent them. I do know that they said no to an easement, and they're open to a license agreement of some sort. So right now, that's where it's at. It's the ball's in their court as far as saying yes or no.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Cambridge Network Solutions, Hurley Street and First Streets, to trench and install PVC conduits in a northerly direction on First Street.
Good morning. Could you please state your name for the record and spell your last name?
Yes, Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Harrington, H-A-R-R-I-N-G-T-O-N.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This, there's really just two updates. This has been continued. One of the updates are we're still waiting for our Verizon core license that we're going to be breaking into a manhole. So we're asking that this be continued. But the other update is that there is a significant trench, and we put this trench letter out to all the other providers in Cambridge. And we believe it may be one person looking to join in, so we should have that information hopefully next month, and hopefully we'll have our Verizon license and be able to get this off the agenda. So we're respectfully just asking this to be continued till next month for review.
Okay. Thank you. Next one.
Cambridge Network Solutions, Cambridge Street at Two Canal Park, to trench and install 4-inch communication conduit.
This is for a new service for Cambridge Network Solutions. We have a customer at Two Canal Park. We are in the manhole system out in front. I believe we've uploaded all the permissions to break out of that manhole system, and we would like to do a trench from that manhole across Cambridge Street to the property line. We are following a trench that was done a few years ago, I believe, by Crown Castle, formerly Lake Tower.
From the same manhole?
Yes.
No space in there?
No space.
No space in that conduit.
They usually do not license conduit. We've reached out in the past. We certainly can reach out again, but we have not had luck with licensing that conduit. We actively work with either Eversource or Verizon, who are required to.
So that there's an exposed cut in the street there.
No, they just, you can see that trench.
That was paved.
Not recently.
Not recently.
Yeah, there's definitely, you can see there, that's how I found it, you can see the trench. I mean, so it looks like maybe water was replaced at one point, because there's a bigger patch somewhere near there, but maybe that's what you're thinking.
I vaguely remember there was another communication, well, I don't think it was Crown Castle, though, that fed that property. I think they went by that property.
They did go down the street for an antenna, I saw that, yeah. But there's a handhole with a pipe going towards the building. We certainly will put in extra pipe if it's requested so that we don't have to, no one has to do this again.
All right.
Yeah, no issues.
Okay.
So the motion to approve with typical conditions?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Cambridge Network Solutions for 3rd and Rogers to place fiber optic cable in or over existing conduit at the intersection of Rogers and 3rd.
So this is one where we reached out to someone who had conduit. They had it the whole way. We've submitted our license that we requested from them, uploaded that as well. So we're just looking for the approval to the approval for the license and to pull the cable.
There's no excavation.
No, so this one we reached out, we found out, to Steve's point, that we could get from end to end with the existing conduit. They have a license requirement. They did. We uploaded it, so it's just a matter of just making sure that you're okay with it, and then placing the cable.
Make a motion to approve pending them submitting the license.
It's uploaded.
They uploaded it.
It's in there. It's in that, and it's uploaded.
Okay. Motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Conditions?
Just the permit, electrical permit for the street obstructions.
And
the
occupancy permit, too. Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. And just for the record, petitions 3 and 4 was Jeff Harrington. Thank you. Network solutions. new petition, level 3 communication, North Point Boulevard and Museum Way, to trench and install 4 inches of conduit.
Good morning.
Mike Weimer, W-I-E.
Sorry, M-A-R. Mike, you said?
Mike, yes. Weimer, W-I-E-M-A-R, level 3 communications.
Thank you.
Bob Walls, Crown Castle, W-A-L-L-S.
Thank you.
Vaidyanathan, V-A-I-D-H-Y-A-N-A-T-H-A-N.
Hold on, sorry.
V-A-I-D-H-Y-A-N-A-T-H-A-N.
All right, I didn't get it at all.
First name is Srikant, S-R-I-K-A-N-T-H.
Thank you. And you are with us?
I'm with the EF Education.
Okay, thank you. All right.
This proposed project is to provide a new communications line to their new building at North Point Boulevard. In conversations with Bob here with Crown Castle, they have the same need as we do. So we decided we're going to build this together. We're coming in off of North Point.
They're coming from the south, Museum Way.
Off of Museum Way. So that's also on the agenda for today as well.
It'll be the next petition after this one.
So why don't we take them together?
So it's North Point Boulevard and Museum Way.
Correct.
The street names have actually changed. It's not. It's no longer North Point Boulevard. It's Education Circle.
All right.
USPS. All right with that one?
I believe so.
Thing for us, we're actually planning to pave the street in front of the new construction in 10 North Point by end of May. So we want to kind of get this trenching done before that.
Well, this is
by the end of May?
Yeah.
That's a lot of work to do.
Well, you'd have to file for common trench with this with other and send letters out to.
Oh, we've already done that. The letters have already gone out.
Have you submitted the letters to us?
It has not been submitted.
Okay, so common trench letters have not gone out. And they need to go out.
So you need a lead company on this, which I assume would be level 3? Or
for this
you'd have to identify a lead company and then...
Do both builds under a single lead company, or?
I'd have to go over the common trench policy, but yeah, I believe that's online. It'll give the whole procedure. One company will be the lead company, with the others to follow, and you have the petition.
Okay.
Would it be possible to do 2 separate trenches?
The whole idea of common trench is that let's dig the street once and make sure everybody's aware of it, and that they hop into that trench and minimize the space and the impact of the area.
We also need to coordinate the corridor with the DPW, site walk.
So I did walk this with Paul Almeida about 6 weeks ago, but it was before I knew Level 3 was also trying to do the same thing.
Okay. So we should all walk it together.
Okay. Make
sure we're on the same page. And then when you resubmit, can you put the proper street names on the plan?
Yes.
So do you think the best thing is for these two to be withdrawn and then have them file this one?
I would think so, yeah. I would think one company, we should determine who was going to be the lead company, send out the letters, just the one, whether it be Level 3 or Crown Castle, and then work it from there.
But would that just be for Petition 5 or Petition 6 as well?
Well, I would think that one should, I think we should probably
withdraw one.
Well, no, I think the first one, if you become the lead company, we can just, the second one could be part of. I'd have to check. I think anybody participate needs to file also, but the lead company. You familiar with that? Of who applies in which order?
Why don't we do this? We'll shoot you guys an email. Just make sure to give each of your emails to Miss Lint over here before you leave, and then we'll shoot you an email and let you know how you should proceed. Whether
yeah, it's pretty clear. And if you went on the website, it'd be sitting policy is there, and it'll tell you the exact procedure of how to go forward.
Okay.
So I think I make a motion to continue both 5 and 6.
Yep.
And then whichever way that transpires, you could withdraw one and attach it to the other as the lead company, whatever the lead company is.
Okay.
Okay.
When is the next hearing? What's the date?
It's actually the 16th, I think.
May 16th.
It's a third Thursday.
Okay.
So I think you need to move the paving to some other day.
Okay. I'll communicate that.
I think so, because, I mean, the common trench letters have to go out anyways, and you all have to get your ducks lined up, and then you have to do the coordination with DPW. There's no way, even if we grant it on the 16th, it'll get done in a week and a half.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Crown Castle for First and Rogers, starting at next G manhole, trench and install 4-inch conduit.
Again, Bob Walls, Crown Castle. We're looking to connect our manhole to Verizon's business manhole on Rogers Street, right before the intersection of First Street. It's about 18 feet of conduit. And right now, we currently have submitted all licensing with Verizon Business. The latest correspondence that we got yesterday is the license has not yet been approved, but it is with them for approval. And I do have that email if you guys want a copy of it.
Can you upload that?
Is that
submitted? Yeah, absolutely.
I would like a conduit added in there for the city.
Absolutely.
Okay. The only
no issues.
No, the only issue that I do have, that's a live construction gate right now.
Yes.
Very live. So you have to coordinate with that project that's going on there.
Okay, no problem.
Because you'll have to, I don't know how long it'll take you to do, but it is a live gate that's very active.
Yeah, we could do it at nights if that was easier.
You need a special noise variance.
Oh, I didn't know that area was residential.
You need a special noise variance, which needs to be approved, and you have to show that you really needed it at night.
Okay.
And
no,
quite
I'm
frankly,
sure
just this, this
yeah,
will probably be
the
night because you can work it out with the company. That's
not
there.
A problem. Yeah. Just got to keep everyone happy.
Yeah, yeah. So I'd make most to approve with typical conditions and the addition of a city condo.
Second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Crown Castle for 392 Franklin Street to replace the existing shroud and antenna.
This one here, this has been continued a few times, I think, for replacement of the pole.
And just for the record, it's Amanda Cornwell and Joe Shannon.
The pole has been replaced. So, make a motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. With electrical and?
Just typical permits.
Typical. Not typical conditions.
Just the electrical utility permit and any street occupancy.
Crown Castle for Brookline and Valentine Street to replace the existing shroud and antenna. And again, it's Amanda Cornwell and Joe Shannon.
I'm thinking rather than going through these one at a time, we can bundle them unless anybody has any opposition. They're all to increase the size, the shroud, and antenna for another carrier. So I would say 9, 10, 11. We already
We already did 12 and 13.
13.
14 was continued.
That's not us.
And that's not them.
That's not them. So I would say 9, 10, 11, and 13. With no objection, I'd make a motion to approve with the same conditions.
Electrical permit and street occupancy permit.
And just for the record on all of these, the shrouds and the antenna are increasing still within the guidelines of the FCC for not a substantial change, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So, yeah, so with that on the record, yes, I would grant.
Okay, so we second it?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. 14 is continued. TC Systems for Mass Ave and Temple Street to trench along Mass Ave and across it down to Temple. Good morning.
Give me one second, please. Good morning. Could you please?
Chris Murray, M-U-R-R-A-Y. TC Systems looking to go lead company for about 400 feet. On Mass Ave and Temple Street to make a service connection to our customer at 727 Mass Ave. The project includes breaking out of an existing Verizon manhole where we're licensed. The path that we are constructing crosses over the MBTA red line. We're working with them to get approvals from them. And as an aside, we're also trying to rent one span of Verizon conduit that would reduce the amount of construction necessary by about 300 feet.
Which section?
If you look on the page 3, Steve, there's a, so we're breaking out of the manhole over here,
yep.
That's a Verizon manhole. They have a line that runs all the way down to that intersection with Temple. Okay. We're still in the licensing process with them, but because our customer has a accelerated time line when they want the service, we figured we'd get at least this in your eyes now rather than later.
Is there a reason why we have to cross Mass Ave twice?
Yeah, there's the MBTA tunnel that we have to contend with.
Right.
And if you could see on that side where Verizon's line goes, there's also Crown Castle line there,
mm-hmm.
Gas line. It's very congested with utilities. So the problem would be, especially if we had a participant running down that side of the street,
yeah.
It would be very... risky, construction-wise.
Would you look at going down Prospect to Bishop Allen and up Temple rather than crossing?
The problem with that is you run into multiple guaranteed street issues. Temple Street is actually guaranteed, and this way here we're kind of limiting the amount that we'd have to do the curb-to-curb restoration.
So ideally you can lease conduit from Verizon and not have to dig over the tunnel twice.
Correct, ideally. Worst case is I know that they don't have capacity from that manhole into the building. All it is a 3-inch pipe that goes in there, and it's full, so they wouldn't allow us to use any of that capacity. So we're trying to get the get down to that next manhole and do a breakout from there. So the construction would then just be on that side of the tunnel down Temple Street and into the building. Hmm.
And where do you
that would
stand?
Be the ideal situation.
Okay, where do you stand with MBTA coordination and approval?
We've got plans submitted to them. We've got the elevation drawings from them as far as, you know, the height of the roof or the ceiling, whatever you want to call it. And we're gonna we just need to get a license from them to do that work because we're over their facilities.
So the only option of not going around the backside is the cost of pave.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we could redesign it around there if that's what the city desires.
I mean, Mass Ave would be mill to curb, milling all the way.
Is that a guaranteed street?
No, but that would be one of the stipulations we would recommend.
I would move to continue and probably go a little bit further with Public Works as far as meeting.
And I would, yeah, we can meet out there and talk about different options.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd suggest going Prospect to Bishop Allen and up Temple. Regardless, it'd be a comment. Whichever way you go, if you cannot lease conduit, if you can lease conduit, I think you're in pretty good shape.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's the ideal situation. If not, my recommendation would be go down Prospect to Bishop Allen, then up Temple. And it would be a common trench. So, motion to continue?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Then store for Albany Street at the intersection of Mass Ave, installing 326 feet of conduit.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please state and spell your last name for the record.
Joanne Callender. Callender.
Ms. Callender, can you also spell your first name?
Sure. Joanne.
Thank you.
Susan Barroso. Barroso.
And remind me your name. 2N?
1N.
Thank you. Before we start, did you go upstairs?
I did, of course.
To get all the information?
I have the information, yes, and I will take it back to my supervisor and let them know this has been going on for years, as I heard you. Mm-hmm.
How long does it take and start to cut a check?
I could cut one today. I just need your authorization to do so.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There was also past due street opening excavation permits that need to be paid for.
I don't know. I know we all pay ENSTAR a lot of money. Mm-hmm. These checks should be cut today.
You said street excavation?
Yeah, street opening and excavation, yeah.
Do we also have poles? We might as well bring it all in.
We are making progress with double pole removals. We've been having some good communication recently. Streetlight repairs have increased. So I think we are... You don't owe us any money, but we are getting some work done.
And
the maintenance end of it. Yeah. So,
as far as those past due street opening, does Dana have those as well?
Can no, those would be DPW. Okay. They're online as well. Okay. Viewpoint.
Okay. How is that typically? They bring a check with them, or is it done?
So with the new Viewpoint system, we're not giving out permits until they pay for them. But these are from the old EnerGov system.
Past due. And prior to that, they had to bring a check?
Yes.
Just how would I access those?
So I know, for example, for the licenses, they're under Ms. Duffy's email. Okay. So you would need her to log in or her to give you her password, which is probably not a smart thing. But
one thing that could very well work for Eversource or NSTAR, however you guys want to call each other, is you can do what a lot of bigger companies are doing, particularly with this system now that we have, and since it will be going around the entire city, which is to create a general email, like let's say eversource@gmail.com or something, whatever your email is, that goes to multiple people, and that you all have the password, because then that way you can all access and all your permits can be under one person. I mean, I'm not sure on your permits who the person is.
Just various people.
Yeah, so that's problematic, especially if you want to pay online, because otherwise you have to have each individual person either one, tell the proper person to cut the check, or two, then you have multiple people trying to enter to get you the amount that they owe. So something to go back to Eversource with. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Petition number 16.
And so this was continuing to wait until Light Tower, to hear from Light Tower. As to the original grant of location. Have you guys heard back from Light Tower?
No, I thought it was for you guys to hear from
Light
Tower.
Yeah, the note I have was the city says they have to wait to hear from Light Towers.
We would typically grant a location to somebody, whether it be Light Tower, to install a small cell, then they would go to get services. And we haven't received anything for this location.
Okay.
Also, we're still waiting on the 8M MWA sewer permit.
For this location?
Number 16.
Okay.
Well, there are also they have that large duck bank going through there, which has been approved. I don't know if that got an 8M permit.
For
the 12 conduits going from there to Putnam.
Is that Putnam Ave, that one?
Yeah, Mass Ave to Putnam. Goes down Cross, that's something that they haven't done the section between Cross Street and Mass Ave yet, which is this exact same run. But the largest question is why do they need power there? There's power on the pole right there. There's an overhead service there. The secondaries and there's a Crown Castle note on the opposite corner. We have no plans of the street going underground. I'd motion to just deny it.
Okay.
It's been going back and forth long enough. I don't think, I wouldn't approve this when you have secondary on the pole right there. Mm-hmm. Unless you're going to jump in the same trench as what's being dug now, we wouldn't have two trenches.
So, denied.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And star for Webster at the intersection of Plymouth to install 70 feet of conduit and a new manhole.
And again, for the record, Brian Callender and Suzanne DeRosso. So this is a new petition?
It is.
A service upgrade for 113 Webster. And because they have no room on their property to put a manhole, we are going to install a HA300 manhole in the public way and then feed them secondary.
You're going to feed it from across the street, from
yes.
the pole?
Yes.
No issues.
And they need this because
it's a service upgrade. We are remodeling the building.
There's no building permits for that location. Not the, different form.
Building or wiring?
We didn't see any permits for that location. We're trying to investigate what it was for.
But it's an upgraded service.
Yes, it's upgraded service. I think they're going to remodel the whole building. That's what I heard from them.
But it hasn't started, that you know.
I don't think so.
Okay. I would continue to wait until Eversource pays their back due fees to both departments and also until permits are granted for this location. I mean.
Okay. On the motion to continue?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 for back bills being paid and for permits to be issued, building permits?
By the owner.
Okay.
Star for Cambridge Street to 5th Street to install 6 feet of conduit.
And that's to supply service to 440 Cambridge Street.
You don't currently have service?
They do. It's also service upgrade.
Is that the building in the rear?
Yes.
They've already installed their conduit to the property line?
I'm not sure if they already did or not on their end.
It goes between the two buildings?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the customer is pretty far along with this one. So I'd make a motion to approve
the typical conditions.
I would second them only because the customer is pretty far
along. I believe
along.
It, yeah. I've been by there a few times, and we've got the trench down the alleyway.
Okay. We'll grant it with typical conditions.
And then we have the minutes for March 21st.
Just with Eversource, we are having a lack of responses for two projects within the city. If you could look into the Cambridge Crossing, it's down at North Point. It's a pump station that will be owned. Cambridge Crossing, the sewer pump station, it will be a city-owned pump station, and they're not getting back to the contractor.
Is that the one all the way to the end?
I believe so, yes.
We've been dealing with them.
Okay.
I don't know. I know it's a lot of people involved with that project, but we've been there. I know Jack Whale and the condo inspector, he was there yesterday. He called me from there yesterday. He was inspecting the conduits going into the PM9 switch and the transformer.
Okay.
I know it's a lot of people in that group, so I don't know if everybody's calling. I'm not sure. But we've been going back and forth with them. And I believe they have an issue with the foundations, I think, the contractor, settling the foundations.
I didn't hear that.
Okay.
How much?
I don't know, because I heard that they were not, we were ready to give them power by sometime June, July, and they said it would be delayed. But I'm not sure what the issue is or if they're going to fix it.
Okay. And then the other one was it 416 Mass Ave?
Yeah, that was, I think there was a conduit that they needed to be moved or cut off. I'm still trying to, I've been researching it this morning. I've talked to Tracy McDevitt. Yeah, there's an existing work order, I believe. They contacted Matt Vine, and the work order was for a temp service, but doesn't seem to jive one with the other, so we're still trying to figure out what's going on with
is
that.
Is this on the Columbia Street area?
No, it's Mass and Main. But it's on the Mass Ave side because they want to get the sidewalks done and open up that.
I know one is that one.
Yeah.
I know.
So
I think it's manhole 283.
Whatever conduit's in the way, I'm still trying to identify what's going on over there. But okay. that needs to be expedited.
Is the conduit needs to be removed, the cable?
I believe it needs to be removed. I don't know whether it was an old service to one of those buildings that's gone. That's probably, it wouldn't be dead-ended at the, it would have been cut off, but I don't know the whole story. We're trying to chase it around.
Because in private property, we cut the cable, we let the customer remove it. In public way, we remove the cable.
No, this is in the sidewalk.
Okay.
This is in the public way.
So you think cable is still in there? Yeah, okay, we can have a meeting if we need to. Okay.
And then Richard Chiffon had represented to the Board of License Commissioners that he was going to have someone in your department in terms of flammables get back to the fire department as to how many flammables are stored at the location that's currently not in compliance with their license.
Station 28, right?
The one that Dana Clark spoke to about upstairs.
Okay.
that was over 6 months ago, and the fire department has not heard back.
Okay.
Fire Resources has already paid a $200 fine on that. The fines will start happening every month if you don't continue to get back to the city on it. I'm sure it's the last thing you'll hear from Jackie.
This is good training.
With that said, and for the record, we did approve the minutes of March 21st.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
Well, it depends. Why are you still here, Anthony?
Can I ask a question off the record?
ask it on the record, and if we don't have to be on the record, then yes, we can definitely get it off the record.
For the record, I usually stay for the entire agenda.
Okay.
Unless I have something else.
Okay.
You mentioned occupancy permit. Is that something new, or is that just the DPW permit?
No, DPW permit.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify.
All right. Yes. Okay, thank you. Now we're off.